This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube-streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on the 12th of July, 2026. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My sermon is based on our first reading from Isaiah, and I'm just going to read that again. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Some years you can drive for hundreds of kilometres through the Australian countryside and see little but dust, grey paddocks and tired gum trees. The dams are low. The creek beds have become walking tracks. Farmers lift their eyes to the horizon, searching for clouds that promise rain, but then drift away without delivering it. Then, one day, the rain comes. At first, almost nothing is different. The earth quietly drinks it in. The paddocks are still brown. The trees still look lifeless. There is no sudden transformation. But something has begun. Days later, tiny shoots appear. Weeks later, the landscape has changed. Birds return. Wildflowers emerge. The smell of damp earth fills the air. Life that seemed lost was quietly waiting beneath the surface all along. Rain has a gentle way of changing the world. It does not force life into the earth. It simply gives the earth what it has been longing to receive. It's no surprise then that the prophet Isaiah reaches for rain when he wants to describe the way that God works. He says, as the snow and the rain come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. Isaiah is speaking these words to people who know what it is to wait. They are living in exile. Jerusalem is in ruins. The temple has been destroyed. Everything that once gave them security seems to have disappeared. It would have been easy to wonder whether God's promises had dried up. And into that uncertainty, Isaiah doesn't try to offer a rational explanation for their suffering. Instead, he offers a promise wrapped in an image that they understand. God's word is like rain. Rain does its most important work quietly. Long before anyone notices green shoots, moisture has already reached deep into the soil. Life begins where no one can see it. And Isaiah says that this is how God's word works. It accomplishes God's purpose even while we are wondering whether anything is happening at all. It's not always easy for us to believe, is it? We live in a world that expects immediate results. We want quick answers to prayer. We want visible success. And we want problems resolved without delay. I don't know about you, but I do. We measure progress by what we can see. But God's kingdom rarely grows in that way. God's word often works beneath the surface, before it transforms what is visible. Long before hope appears, grace is already at work. And perhaps that's one of the deepest acts of faith, trusting that God is already at work, even when our lives still look like dry paddocks waiting for rain. And Isaiah makes a remarkable promise. God's word never returns empty. Sometimes that promise can seem difficult to believe. Week after week, we gather for worship. The scriptures are read. The gospel is proclaimed. We confess our sins and we hear forgiveness. Bread is broken, wine is shared. Sometimes we leave filled with joy. And other times we wonder whether anything has changed. And Isaiah gently reminds us not to judge the rain while it's still soaking into the ground. Martin Luther loved these verses because they reminded him that the church does not finally depend upon human ability, but upon God's living word. Reflecting on Isaiah, he observed that we naturally think everything depends on our plans, on our wisdom, or on our efforts. But God says something wonderfully freeing. He says, "My word." Luther wrote that God has every victory in his word. Just as the richest soil cannot produce a harvest without rain, the church cannot create faith by its own strength. Life comes through the gift that God gives. And that is why Luther treasured what we know as the means of grace. Whenever the scriptures are read, Christ is proclaimed, forgiveness is spoken, people are baptized, and the Lord's table is prepared, God is doing far more than reminding us of the past. God is acting in the present. The risen Christ still speaks. The Spirit still waters thirsty hearts. Grace still takes root in lives, often long before anyone notices its fruit. And John's gospel helps us to hear Isaiah's promise in an even richer way. In the beginning was the Word through whom all things were created, became flesh and lived among us. Jesus does not simply speak God's promise, Jesus is God's promise. Wherever Jesus goes, life begins to appear. The blind receive sight. The hungry are fed. Those pushed to the edges discover that they belong again. Sinners hear forgiveness. Even the dead are called by name. In Jesus, we see what Isaiah meant. God's word does exactly what God sends it to do. Yet there was a day when everything suggested that God's word had failed. The disciples stood beneath the cross and they saw only defeat. The authorities believed they had silenced Jesus, and the crowds assumed that the story had reached its end. But Good Friday was not the end of God's purpose. It was the place where God's purpose was being fulfilled. On Easter morning, the women came expecting to care for a dead body. Instead, they heard the astonishing news. He is not here. He has been raised. Only then did they begin to understand that God's word never fails, even when all appears lost. God is already bringing into being a future beyond our imagining. And that pattern runs through Scripture and throughout our lives. God brings life from death, hope from despair, and new beginnings from endings that we thought were final. Isaiah understands that. He doesn't pretend that the exile never happened, and he doesn't ask God's people to ignore their grief, but instead he promises them, "You shall go out in joy and be led back in peace." Joy begins before the journey is over. Peace accompanies God's people while restoration is still unfolding. That's always been the way of faith. Abraham set out without knowing where he was going. Moses crossed the wilderness before reaching the promised land. The disciples followed Jesus long before they understood who he truly was. Faith is not possessing certainty about tomorrow. Faith is about trusting the one who walks with us today. And then Isaiah lifts our eyes even higher. "The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." What a wonderful picture. Creation itself joins the celebration. Isaiah reminds us that God's salvation is never only about individuals. God's purpose embraces the whole creation. The God who renews human hearts is also making all things new in creation. And we know how important it is to make things new in this country. We've seen landscapes scarred by drought, bushfires, and flood. We also know the joy of seeing country renewed after rain. Isaiah invites us to recognise those moments as echoes of God's greater promise. Whenever we care for creation, or restore damaged places, or nurture life, we participate in God's hope for a renewed world. And Isaiah's final image is full of quiet confidence. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle." God takes the thorns and transforms them. This is what we see in the risen Christ. His scars remain, but they are no longer signs of defeat. They have become signs of life. Perhaps many of us can recognise something similar in our own lives. Looking back, we can see experiences that once seemed only painful, but in time, they became places where grace took root. A disappointment opened another door. A season of waiting deepened our faith. A loss enlarged our compassion. At the time, we couldn't see what God was doing. But only later did we realise that God's work had been quietly at work beneath the surface all along. And Isaiah leaves us with one last picture. The rain gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God always provides both. Bread for today, seed for tomorrow. Every Sunday, Christ gathers us around word and sacrament. He feeds us, forgives us, and strengthens us. Then he sends us into the world carrying seed, a word of encouragement, an act of kindness, patient listening, generous hospitality, or quiet compassion. Most of those seeds will grow beyond our sight. We may never know how God uses the ordinary faithfulness of our daily lives. And we do not need to know, because the harvest belongs to God. Our calling is simply to keep sowing, trusting that God's word continues to accomplish what God intends. Perhaps this week, and I think there'll be a bit of rain, you'll notice the rain soaking into the ground. You'll smell the damp earth. You might see fresh green shoots beside the road. When you do, remember Isaiah. Remember that God has always worked like this, quietly, patiently, and faithfully. Long before anyone sees the harvest, new life has already begun. And because the living word has come among us and has died for us and has been raised for us, we can trust that no part of our lives is beyond God's renewing grace. The rain still falls. God's word still speaks. Christ still gives life. And one day, the whole creation will rejoice in the fulfillment of God's promise. Amen.